A new edition of New York Groove live from Las Vegas, from the Resorts World Casino on the 63rd floor, Vince. I'm in a suite on the 63rd floor this week. Pretty cool. I've been in Vegas all week. Went to the Raider game early in the week last week. Pretty cool stuff, Vince.
Well, yeah. So whose room did you sneak into? Who did you lie to? How'd you get such a nice room?
No, I didn't sneak into anyone's room, honestly. It's my room. I paid for it. I don't know how I got this room, but if you're on StreamYard with us, this is Unreal Help Podcast Studio, but you can see the view that we have.
Oh, that's a nice view.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't know what I did to deserve this, but it's pretty cool. I got to be honest with you, though. Saw a report come out yesterday on the Giants. That really bothered me. And I want to get into that first. Going to be a little bit shorter show this week because my voice obviously sounds like I've been in Las Vegas for a week. And I have somewhere to be. But I don't know if you saw this report. Adam Schefter reported it, that the Giants still believe that Joe Judge is – the plan is to keep Joe Judge for the future. But if a new GM comes in and wants a different coach, they're not going to hesitate to go in a different direction. And this drove me insane because the Giants are clearly becoming the team that's reacting to the way that the wind is blowing. And okay, my voice sounds like ridiculous, Vince.
Which I like it. I like it. What kind of shenanigans have you been up to earn this kind of voice? Are you just like ripping cigs all day?
No, I'm not. Really not.
Like, come on, be honest. You're just you're kissing women at the clubs, and they're just like inhaling a full cigar into your mouth, and you're into it. That's okay.
No kisses, no cigars. I have no idea what's going on. Like, this is, I sound like I've been screaming for an entire night. And funny thing enough, I was supposed to go to a Kiss concert last night. Kiss wound up canceling that concert we talked about. You would think I still went to the concert with how my voice sounds. I mean, it sounds so unbelievably bad. I never sound like this in my life. This is awful.
Oh, yeah. I've done shows sounding like that. And the funny thing is that when my voice gets that bad, I squeak like crazy. So it'd be like, the whole time I did the show. It was brutal.
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, this Giants story did bother me, Vince, because a team that needs a direction so badly and ownership that's clearly can't get on a right direction with their franchise, now saying, we don't know if we're going forward with our head coach. We want to go forward with him, but if the GM wants a different guy, we might bring in a different guy. It's become such a ridiculous clown show with this organization that I don't know how any Giant fan can go into next year with any bit of confidence. I don't know how any gambler can go into next year thinking about taking the over for the Giant season next year. Every single year, this team shows another lack of being able to understand how to be a proper NFL franchise. And they're going to go forward with Daniel Jones again next year. It's going to be another losing season. They're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option. This team has a ton of cap health. They only have a couple of good draft picks at the top of the draft. You're in a lot of trouble right now, Vince. And if I'm looking at the NFC East in the future, give me a team that's in a worse spot future-wise than the New York Giants. They're going to be in last place in that division for the next decade.
Oh, yeah. They're begging to be in last place for the next decade. It's great. I got to tell you, I love everything about it because it's such a loser, dumb mentality, right? Like, hey, here's this head coach that's a special teamer. He has no track record. We don't know if he's good or not. Here's a quarterback that really hasn't shown anything at all. And we overdrafted him and we're firing the GM who overdrafted him. But the next guy needs to, ideally, we would like them to deal with these people. I mean, like, what kind of message are you sending? You know what I mean? Like, what does this do for anybody? If you're a GM, do you go like, you know, this sounds like a fun situation. Let me hop into this mess.
NFL franchises do not succeed when they have this system of ownership picks the coach and the GM has to make things work with the coach. That never works in the NFL. It just doesn't. For the Giants to go forward, You need to hire a GM that's okay with Joe Judge being the coach right now. You can't bring in a guy that wants a different guy. You don't know what's going to put the coach in limbo. But again, look at the way the Dallas Cowboys have drafted the last few years, right? Look at how the Eagles are set up for the future. Look at even the way the Washington football team is set up. They're winning games with Taylor Heineke the entire year. So I really can't hear any more about the Giants and Giants fans convincing themselves that they're going to the Super Bowl every single year. This is one of the worst run organizations in the entire sport. It's been that way now for a decade. And I don't know how it's going to get any better at this point because you have two high draft picks and you do have a chance of getting Russell Wilson. But every time I try to convince myself that Russell Wilson is the answer here, how are you convincing Russell Wilson to want to come play here? There's no bright spot for him.
No, there's nothing to sell. And that's the interesting thing about the Giants, right? Like before, when they were really good in those early 2000s all the way up to the mid-teens, they could draft and they had an identity, right? It was all those defensive linemen, like going from Michael Strahan to Osi Umenyiora and Justin Tuck and guys like that. Even on some low level, Mathias Kiwanuka. Like you knew what they were into. You know what they wanted. They could build that. Now it just feels like they're trying to patch holes all the time. And it's a terrible way to approach building a franchise. If you're just constantly like, oh, we need to fill this spot and fill this spot and fill this spot. Young guys don't always develop, and it doesn't necessarily fill the hole. Like, have principles, believe in those principles, and stick with that, and have a GM that kind of understands that, or at least hire a GM that has his own set of principles. But for now, I mean, it's hard to convince a guy like Russ because you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's crazy how the Eagles have become the model franchise this division, right? I mean,
Not crazy at all.
It's not crazy to you. No? You think it's completely normal to you?
Yes, this is completely normal to me. I mean, over the last 20 years, who's been the most stable franchise in the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean, you can make the case that it's the Cowboys, but I have to say it's the Eagles.
They've just gone deeper in the playoffs. They've won infinitely more playoff games over the last 20 years. So, yeah, like they are the model. Washington sneaks in from time to time and talking about where the Giants fit in the division. Like, Washington, at least you have Ron Rivera. You have Ron Rivera. You have a defensive line. You have something. But for the Giants, you don't have anything. They have no identity.
I agree. It's gotten to the point where it's unbelievably pathetic. Vince, we're about 5 minutes in, and I only want to do 20 minutes so far, so I want to talk a little bit about Las Vegas. Have you ever been here?
I've been to Vegas twice.
And what's your take on it? Because I don't know if you're the most Vegas-y guy that I've ever seen before.
I'm definitely not the most Vegas-y guy. But you know what? I enjoy the people-watching element. And I just enjoy, like, the quality of the casinos, man. I mean, like, to walk around on the Strip and just go from casino to casino and see all the different things that they've got arranged and all the different crowds and how they're different for each casino based on the vibe they're trying to build. I love that. I really do.
The locals keep telling us to not walk and take Ubers everywhere. And yet we've walked the Strip at least two times. It's fantastic. It's about a 40-minute walk from our hotel to Allegiant Stadium, which is, by the way, gorgeous and makes New York even more pathetic for having that atrocity of MetLife. And the locals keep telling you to take an Uber and all the walking and stuff. And I think the walking's fantastic. I love walking on the Strip. It's great. Also, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing, too. The weather out here, it's been about 50 to 60 all week. And me and my friends that are with me on the Strip, I've loved the weather. And there are people here that are clearly locals that are in heavy coats and scarves and hats when it's 60 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's funny because one of the two times that I actually went there, one time it was legitimately like 30 degrees the entire trip, which I didn't think was possible in Vegas. Like during the day, 30 degrees. It was insane. I was there for 3 days on a bachelor party and it was cold the entire time.
Yeah, it does get cold. It can get cold out here. And then what was the other time you went?
So the other time it was awesome. Cross-country road trip. So on the back end of the road trip. Yeah, I did that when I was just out of college. So it was about 10 years ago. And I had a buddy that was moving out to California. So, yes, I was discovering my inner womanhood. And there was traveling pants and all that kind of stuff. But as we drove to all these different places, we're moving my buddy out there. We made a point to stop at Vegas along the way. So we were there for about 2 days. Did the buffet at the Wynn. That was a beautiful thing. And then otherwise, just like walking around a lot on the Strip and just kind of getting a feel for things. Couple of bucks on gambling here and there. But I ended that trip with literally no money in my bank account, and it was great.
That's fantastic. From where I am, too, there is a bluish motel looking thing on the ground level. And it's like it's one of those two-level motels, and it's creeping me out. Only because I can't help but wonder what goes on in this place.
Oh, dude, that would be the best to just monitor the people that are going in and out of that place.
I want to do like a documentary series of what goes on in a place like this. Like just sit outside of my car and just record. Because I mean, you're probably having some characters walk in and out of this place. A Vegas strip mall motel with two levels. I mean, not much better than that, right?
Yeah, oh, there's no way. And the war stories that you would get out of people, I mean, honestly, if you decide to just for shits and giggles to run a documentary where you just ask people in general, like, hey, would you come on and tell us your best Vegas story? You'd get amazing stuff because it's regular people that are going for it. You know what I mean? So, like, whatever people are up to, total debauchery.
I agree. That's another thing, too, that I think you could agree with because you've been here. I don't know how anyone gets anything done here. I don't. I have no idea how anyone gets anything done here or does anything. I have no idea how people live here. Like a lot of times, like I was saying to my friends, you can't stay here for more than 3 or 4 days. You can't, because there's just too much to do and there's too much available to you where you never want to go to bed. So there's always another place to hit up. There's always another bar to see. There's always another restaurant to go to. There's always another club to go to. There's always so much going on that you never go to bed. And then it winds up being every night you go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? You show up buckled. And Vince, you can't live here. You can't spend any amount of extended period of time here. I don't know how this city now has a population of like 4 million people. I don't get it. Like, it's impossible.
No, it's so funny, dude, because their city really is insane all the time. And I do love that. Like when I literally the first time I ever was in Vegas, I drive in. We're at like basically some hotel room. I forget what the exact deal was, but we drive up to this building and there's a woman who's dressed a certain way and she's walking through the parking lot. And as we're driving through, a cop pulls up, takes out his gun. And goes, drop the bag. She's got like some paper bag of some kind. Drop the bag. And she drops the bag and he kicks it all the way across the lot. And he handcuffs her right there. Like that was my introduction. That was like 10 minutes of being in Las Vegas. It was crazy. I mean,
wow. What a story. Vince, like, again, like, and it's got a good population now. There are people here, like people who live here now. I don't get it. I could never live. I wouldn't survive. I'd live here for a week and no one would be able to find me.
Like, yeah, I think if you did it in like your early 20s, I mean, for a guy of your age, if you went out there at some point, it was just like, oh, I just want to live for like 2 years in Vegas and work at the casinos and like get into some weird stuff. I could totally see that. Like, I'm too old to do that now. There's no way. But I could see a younger version of me being down for that kind of thing.
No, I don't think it exists. There'd be too many options for bad ideas for me. But again, like, it's one of those places where like you can't ever call it a night. If you walk on the strip, there's no real reason to call it a night. There's too much to do. There's too much access to things. It's dense. I'm telling you. I mean, great town, great vacation destination, great place. Not a place that I'd advise anyone to stay over 3 days.
So, what's been your favorite thing so far?
Oh wow, I've done a lot. I went to a Raider game the first day I went here. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to the Golden Knight game because they canceled that. But I mean, I went to LA for 2 days. See, we broke the trip by going to LA. That was cool. One of the best things I did get to do is I went to SoFi Stadium, Vince. Mm-hmm. I did a tour of SoFi Stadium. You have no idea how beautiful that stadium is. I mean, that is Allegiant and SoFi are incredible. The tour of SoFi Stadium, though, they let you run out of the tunnel with music on, like the Chargers tunnel. You're laughing. It's the coolest thing in the world.
That's got to be awesome. Yeah, no, I'm laughing because I love it.
They play hype music. And then like they have like a 3-2-1 count and they count you down and you get to run out of the tunnel onto the field, which is an incredible experience. And then they have target practice out on the field where you can like throw the football on the field of SoFi Stadium.
Dude.
Yeah. Amazing experience.
Wow. That sounds really, really awesome. Like I toured Camden Yards once and that was pretty cool. They put us in the dugout and kind of walked us around the executive suites and all that, but we didn't do anything like that. I mean, that's amazing.
I've been on a bunch of these stadium tours because I'm a nerd for stadiums, and this was by far the most insane experience I've ever had. I mean, not even close. This is the greatest stadium tour experience. And then I went another stadium tour of Dodger Stadium, where I've never been to Dodger Stadium before, and it's one of those places I wanted to see because it's one of the most iconic stadiums we have. We walked into the stadium and couldn't find like a ticket booth or anyone that was organizing the tour or anything, mm-hmm. but the stadium doors were just open. So we just walked in. And just walked around Dodger Stadium for like 15 minutes, the three of us, and until someone found us and were like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And then they directed us to where we're supposed to be. But we had free reign of Dodger Stadium for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, which is ridiculous in my opinion.
Dude, that's amazing.
I don't know any other stadiums that are just open. Like the gates to Dodger Stadium were just open. Whereas I know if I went to Yankee Stadium right now, the gates would not just be open where I could just walk in. The gates would just,
oh, you would get shot. Open.
Yeah, maybe it's the LA laxed attitude. I don't know what it is, but everything was just open. So we just strolled right in. Like, it didn't matter to us. It was very odd. And then we went on the tour of Dodger Stadium. And I want to say this. While the views are fantastic of Dodger Stadium, the mountains in the background, the stadium itself, not impressive. And this is someone now who's, I guess if you count Dodger Stadium, I've been to 17 baseball stadiums. not an impressive stadium at all. Vince, it was raining that day in LA. They had buckets on the floor to catch the rainwater in the suites.
In the suites?
Yeah. Which bothered me because it's supposed to be one of the more iconic franchises. Let's go. Fix the roof.
Yeah, don't they break the luxury tax every year? Like, wow. Exactly. That is commitment to the roster when you're literally putting it out on the field rather than fixing the holes in your suites.
They're spending so much money on their roster that they actually can't afford to fix up the holes in the roof. The problem. or apparently afford locks for the doors so they don't close them. Telling you, everyone to go on a tour of a stadium, just go to Dodger Stadium. They leave the doors open, apparently.
That's crazy, man. And it's funny, too. Real quick, last stadium, though, because I'm in D.C. right now, so I'm visiting my brother in D.C. I drove past the guts of RFK Stadium. What a dump.
Still there.
There? It's just this big, hulking, rusted mess. And it's funny because the location is weird. The whole thing's run down. And yet there's giant billboards on the face of it for advertising still. Like, people are actually advertising on the body of a completely dead stadium. It's so strange.
I have a weird passion for stadiums. I would love to go on a tour of RFK Stadium. Like, love to. Like, just now.
You'd have to bring, like a shotgun. God knows what's in there, dude. It is messy in there.
I'd love to know. Well, on that note, let's get to our NFL picks. Well, Vince, we've hit week 17. I don't know how the NFL season goes this quick every year. It kind of freaks me out. But intriguing schedule, to say the least. The first one I'm going at, Colts are -6.5 against the Raiders this week. And the Colts are our team that's rolling. And I went to the Raider game last week. I'm not that impressed. I'm not. Their defense is falling off after how well it played at the start of the year. Derek Carr is basically carrying this team. Josh Jacobs is not an impressive year at all. I'm getting under a touchdown here. I love Indianapolis in this spot. Indianapolis -6.5 is my first bet, Vince.
So it's a fun game because it's Sam Ellinger probably. Wentz can come back on Sunday, but he's got the COVID stuff and he's not vaccinated, so who knows. But thinking about where that game's going to go, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, it probably doesn't matter who's a quarterback for the Colts because you have Wentz and he threw like 15 passes the other week and he completed like 5 and that was all they needed. But
exactly.
Ellinger stinks, and I just have the feeling that he's going to have a turnover and it's going to give the Raiders a chance to score and keep a game that's generally going to be not crazy high scoring. Keep that a little bit closer. So I can see where you're at, but I actually go Raiders on that pick.
Interesting. I just think it's a spot where the Raiders have not impressed me, and the Colts win games not based on their quarterback. The Colts win games on their defense playing really well, getting a lot of guys back, and I'm running the football. So I don't think it's going to take much out of Sam Ellinger to win that game. And I actually think there's a very good chance you could get Wentz to play in this spot. Vince, here's a spot where I'm going to make you a little happy, okay? I don't enjoy doing that often, but I'm going to have
Baby!
Eagles -3 against Washington. I believe Washington has gotten to the point in their season where they've given up. After that performance against the Cowboys on Monday night where you lose the game by 40 and you look disinterested the entire time, I don't see how Washington's going to get up for this game. And the Eagles, again, now at 8-7, this is a team where they're going to make the postseason for sure. And they're a bad matchup for a lot of teams around the league. They just are. And for Washington, a team that's given up, and the Eagles only giving 3 points here, I love the Eagles in this spot, Vince.
Oh, it's a beautiful spot, man. Dude, Ron Rivera earlier this week was talking about playing Kyle Allen at some point during the game, which is the most honest, blatant admission that they're throwing this game away. It's in the tank. So, great. Great for the Eagles. I mean, and like you say, like the Brian McKeon special, the Eagles need this game like blood. They're trying to lock in that playoff spot. They can clinch the playoff spot this weekend if a couple of games go right. So, yeah, Washington's throwing in the towel. The Eagles are playing hot. 3's not enough. They're going to dominate.
There's two big spots in NFL seasons where there's a lot of value on bets. In the early in the year when a good team starts 0-3, 0-4, and they need to win to get their season on track and not let their season get away from them, that's a good spot to bet those teams. And also this time of the year when teams need games like blood, and it's a spot to bet them. And this is a spot for the Eagles where that definitely holds true. Vince, Dallas -6 against Arizona. I know Arizona's lost 3 in a row and they seem to be sliding here. But what has Dallas necessarily shown me in the last couple of weeks? They've been mediocre at best. I don't know how in the world Dallas is a 6-point favorite over Arizona. I get them being a 2.5-point favorite, a 3-point favorite. 6 is just way too many points. So I'm all over Arizona +6.
Yeah, I mean, the Dallas thing is they got so inflated. This is another McKeonism of Barney at the bar, right? Barney at the bar sees Dallas last week. They beat Washington like 56-14. And they go, oh, well, they're playing great. The Cardinals stink. Let me go with Dallas. But, yeah, I mean, for the Cardinals being where they are and falling off a little bit, now they're behind in the division race where they had that. I mean, they were in cruise control for a while. There's a chance they could not make the playoffs at this stage. They've been losing games lately. So, it's probably not going to happen, but it's technically possible. So, yeah, 6.5 for a Cardinals team. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I want to double check that with the VQ Sportsbook. Yeah. So 6.5. Yeah. I do like the Cardinals there. Now, I got another one. It's that's the same spread. By the way, VQ Sportsbook had the Chicago Bears -6.5 against the Giants. Give me Nick Foles' magic, baby. It doesn't make any sense. He's not any good, and everyone knows it. But that's when he comes out, gives you his best. So yeah, Nick Foles, for some reason.
Yeah. Let's not forget, Vince, the Giants are also awful. I mean, they're playing Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
It's not a good football team. So, I mean, I can't even make a case for me that the Giants are going to score more than 10 points in this spot. So
no, I can't either. It's 6.5 for the Bears and the under as well, probably, honestly, because the Giants just can't put anything up.
I agree with you. Two more here to go. This is a weird spot. Rams, Ravens. Rams are -4 in this spot. Vince, well, the Ravens are in another spot where I think their season is just over. They have completely fallen off at this point. And the Rams are a team that I think is starting to get rolling. I may be a little biased because I have a Rams Super Bowl ticket from September that's still sitting in my name. But, Vince, I don't see a spot here for the Rams where I they're going to fall apart in this game. The Ravens have just not played well at all in the last couple weeks, and I don't know if Lamar's coming back in this spot, but I haven't heard any news on him actually coming back. And also, here's another thing, Vince, in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
The game is a 1 o'clock game going over to the from a West Coast to East Coast team. So it's like a 10 a.m. game for them. And you hear a lot of people say that same thing, you know, cliche always that, oh, well, West Coast team going to the East Coast, you know, never works and stuff. Vince, that is the most dumbfounded thing in all of sports. Okay. The West Coast team going to the East Coast actually has a favorable record in the last 5 years.
Whoa.
So, yeah. It is one of the worst stats in all of sports, and people bring that out in a handicap. And they say, oh, well, the West Coast team going to the East Coast. Here's the spot for them. Absolutely not. It's a horrible thing to say. West Coast teams actually have won more games in the last 5 years over East Coast teams going to the East Coast. Now, a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that you've had bad teams in the East Coast the last 5 years, like the Jets and the Redskins and the Dolphins and the Giants. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, this is the Ravens have fallen apart in this spot in the season, and the Rams are getting on a point where they're actually rolling. And OBJ has filled the role of Robert Woods being out for the rest of the year. So I love the Ravens, the Red Rams in this spot, -4. We lost Vince due to some technical difficulties, or he just didn't want to be involved in the show anymore because his picks were so bad this week. Not really sure which one it was, but regardless, I want to thank everyone for joining me this week live from Las Vegas. I want to apologize for my voice because it clearly does sound a little out of whack. I want to say some food for thought on the way out. First, I have been notified and researched online. There are 2 to 3 car fires in the Las Vegas Strip every week of the year. So that's also fun. But also, on the way out, I want to give a little suggestion. After John Madden has died, the legendary Raider coach, the NFL should rename the All-Pro teams to the All-Madden teams, like we used to have in the video game. I think that would be a great way to honor John Madden and the rest of his legacy for the rest of to keep his legacy going on and for the rest of the history of the NFL. On that note, it'll do it for episode, 67 of New York Hoops.